And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
Welcome to the sound of suspense. To the fear you can hear.
Got an amazing show. This is one that I'm really excited to do. I am joined today by Nick Orton of Tales of the Grid Square on Instagram, and he is taking actual military personnel's paranormal experiences out in the field, and it's just amazing, and I would encourage you to go over there and check it out. Hey everybody, and welcome to the Paranormal Portal Podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas. Thank you all for joining us, and special thank you goes out to all of you who continue to support the podcast and continue to spread the word. Always remember, if any of you out there have experiences of your own that you'd like to share, feel free to email me at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com. Again, paranormalportalradio@gmail.com, and you too could be a guest on the show. So let's get right into it. Welcome to the show, Nick.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on today. I appreciate you taking the time to have me on your show and your platform.
Oh, man, it's my pleasure. And like I said, I've been following you. I heard of you on when you appeared on Sasquatch Chronicles, and I was absolutely hooked from the first moment, because I think a lot of times this weird stuff happens in real emotionally charged places. Like, there's something of a catalyst in those things. And certainly we know that prisons and hospitals and stuff are hot spots for paranormal activity, but in active war zones and on military duty, I think that is phenomenal that you've been dedicating yourself to recording and sharing those stories of service members. I think that's brilliant.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's definitely an interesting project that I never saw myself doing until I started it. It's definitely surprised me about how popular it's become, and about just honestly how many people have stories that they experienced while they're in the service, and then just also too, like, outside of that, wearing the uniform, and like just circumstantial stories that they have, like, from their childhood and when they got out of the military, or maybe when they were on leave.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's no telling when and where this stuff will happen. It just happens in its own time, but it does stand to reason. I mean, when you think of UFO reports, there's so many UFO reports around active base sites and such. And there does seem to be a real intrigue with these otherworldly forces with the military and what's going on. So my hat's off to you. And again, you're the only guy I've ever heard doing this. And quite honestly, I think it's a topic that's well overdue, and you're doing it amazingly as well. I mean, and first of all, you are an active service member, and thank you for your service. Thank you for all you're doing, and thank you for sharing these stories with all of us, because otherwise these would just, be forgotten somewhere.
No, yeah, I appreciate it. And that's, honestly, it's like kind of like one of my kind of big, like, reasons why I do it, is because there's a lot of these stories that people just hold on to.
Mm, yeah.
And don't really care for whatever reason. And, one of the things I'm trying to do is, in my own kind of weird way, kind of bridge that gap between the civilian world and the military world. It was kind of surprising when I started, like, looking into this, is like, kind of looking into, like, military and the paranormal. Mm. I was very surprised about how, don't take it the wrong way, it's just how ignorant some people are when it comes to how the military works. And like, for your listeners out there, a lot of times people have these stories in the military and they don't really share them. And the first thought most people have that are not really initiated to the military is that, like, oh, the government's hiding something. Oh, you know, they know the secrets, or like there's a nefarious reason on why people don't share these stories.
Mm-hmm.
And to be quite honest, it's actually pretty simple and pretty, I guess, anticlimactic, is that, you know, we just have more important things to worry about sometimes. Especially like, you know, if you're in combat every single day, and, you know, you're in Afghanistan and you're in like one of the worst war zones on the planet, constantly worried about, you know, taking a round or getting blown up or something like that. And you see like, say a giant walk out of a cave and stare at you, walk back in, you know, and that's kind of like, just like the story I just added, I just posted on my website, and they put it, just pretty plainly, like, you know, they got more important things to worry about. It's like, wow, that was really crazy to look at. But if I focus on this right now, it's going to take my attention away from something else, and it could cost me my life. Or, you know, I have a job to do, and if I'm distracted from that job,
right,
then I'm going to be able to perform.
Yeah.
So simple as, like, if I say this, I saw this insane, crazy thing, people are going to think that I'm insane and crazy.
Sure. And you know, they're already, you know, in life or death situations. And so you're right. I mean, that makes perfect sense. They can't just turn all of their attention, like, hey, guys, hold on a sec, I just saw this big guy up in the cave there. That's just not going to happen. So, that's very true. And you know, I think part of the problem is that we have a real Hollywood idea of the military. And I don't know that, you know, I've never been in the military. I have a son that is, that was anyway. But I think we have the Hollywood version of it. So we really don't probably have a real accurate depiction of what military life is like.
Oh yeah, and I'll tell people, like, I love listening to some people's theories about it. And I try to, like, you know, the military being this like gigantic monstrosity, and I tell them sometimes, like, you guys give us like too much credit sometimes. Like, we are people too,
sure.
You know.
Right.
I couldn't get my soldiers to shut up about a deployment. There's no way I would be able to get them to shut up about, like, you know, seeing a UFO somewhere or something like that. Especially now with like TikTok and
sure
Instagram, would be throwing that all over the place.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, I think a lot of times it's just, you know, like I said, like, people see these things and they're like, well, A, I don't want people to think I'm crazy. Mm. B, I don't want people to think that I'm distracted from my job. And C, like, you know, I need to focus on the task at hand. I need to push this to the back of my mind.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes these people actually experience a pretty terrifying events,
yeah,
whether that, like, ghosts or sleep paralysis or UFOs or full-on cryptid sightings. Like, it's pretty crazy.
It really is. And again, I've read through so many of the reports that you posted over on Instagram, and it's just mind-numbing. And it's, like I said, it stands to reason. But I'm kind of curious, how did you arrive at the point where you're like, you know what, I got to start writing these things down and sharing them?
Yeah, so ever since I was a kid, I've had like a very big interest in like the paranormal and like kind of like that fringe kind of study of science. You know, as we were talking earlier, when I was a kid, I had the book Communion, and I read that like when I was 10 or 11 years old. Now, I didn't, because I just saw it and I was like, oh, there's an alien on it. That was cool. And I read it, and I really didn't understand or grasp many of the concepts and what it was talking about. But that just goes, like, is an example of how interested I was in this topic. And I had all sorts of books about all sorts of things, from hidden lost treasures and unsolved ciphers to cryptids and UFO sightings. And as we were talking, like, I had a book somewhere, and I cannot remember the title of it, but it talked about giants in North America and how the Smithsonian destroyed all these bodies and remains to basically, you know, in the book, it was saying that it wasn't really, they're trying to cover up like the existence of giants to keep it hidden. It's just they didn't want the established status quo of evolution to be challenged by, like, now they have to explain this whole new thing. And it basically went to all these intellectuals didn't want to basically say they were wrong. So they went through all this trouble to destroy this evidence. But I digress. Like, at some point, you know, I donated that book or lost that book or whatever and forgot about it until that topic started to become mainstream again. And I was like, holy cow, I remember all this.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a horrible tragedy if that is indeed what happened, because, you know, I mean, there's there's plenty of reference to the fact that giants were a recognized part of the ancient world, whether just in legend or folklore or in religious histories. And so I don't understand what, you know, I mean, I do understand what you're saying, because there's a real hubris in science, and once something challenges that, it's easier to sweep it under the rug and go with their established narrative than to try to reinvent the narrative to accommodate this new evidence. But yeah, it's really tragic.
Oh yeah. And I just find it really interesting. And, you know, like, to be honest, it's not that hard to imagine that there could have been, like, maybe a sub race of humans mm-hmm. that were gigantic. I mean, there's evidence to suggest that there was a sub race of, you know, humans that were considered pygmies that lived
sure.
all over the, yep. you know, the Pacific. And
yep.
as, you know, as far as, like, depending where you go in, like, Hawaii, if you go on, like, Kauai, when you hear the term Menehune, they on the Kauai refer to it as a race of pygmies or dwarf-like people that were on the islands before the ancient Polynesians. And there's ruins of another civilization that predates, like, the ancient Hawaiians out there. Or even I read somewhere, it was in a book that I had about, you know, the Japanese, Imperial Japan. It might have been Sumatra or another one of the islands, the Pacific, Eastern Pacific, where they encountered a race of pygmies and basically, like, you know, wiped them all out because they considered them subhumans.
Oh, yeah. 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 And so, I mean, those again are part of folklores around the globe. You know, these little people, these giant people. So the fact that people have actually dug up substantial proof of it doesn't surprise me. And you know, there's still ongoing reports of those things still wandering around, which is really unnerving, I think.
You know? Yeah. I definitely, I'm well versed in internet humor and culture. And, you know, for your listeners, like, I was a long time creeper on, Reddit No Sleep before it kind of became like a short fiction kind of website.
Yeah.
Back when what people were sharing was real. To 4chan, if you guys don't know what 4chan is, not exactly a friendly website, but there was a chat in 4chan that was concerned with, like, the paranormal. And back in the day, it used to be, like, really, really trippy. With that, we're sharing, like, some very, and I know people now through Tales from the Crypt Square that I remember reading their stories on X. So that's what it was called on 4chan. And I remember reading those, and they're like, yeah, like, and it was basically, like, you know, insane stories of, like, people encountering all sorts of weird cryptids to things like Bigfoot and ghosts and all sorts of stuff. Now it's just kind of like a meme website where the original purpose has been lost.
All right.
Well, as with, you know, it's like the young generation's coming and going, but back in the day, you know, a lot of the topics that were mainstream now were stuff that I remember following on these subreddits and, you know, chat rooms and 4chan. And it's kind of just funny to see how it's, you know, it was a weird corner of the internet, and now it's becoming more and more mainstream.
Yeah, it is. And I like that about this, that at the very least, and I attribute it to a lot of different things, like, of course, ghost shows on TV and Bigfoot shows and stuff, that at least people now can have the discussion. Whereas before, you were a social outcast if you brought up UFOs or ghosts or aliens, maybe less so ghosts because they've been a part of every culture everywhere. But nowadays people are much more willing to come forward, and they can find groups in which to have those discussions, which I think is great, because I guess it's a two-pronged sword, though, really, because you've got the good information and then you've got the bad information. And you've got to kind of diversify and go through it and, you know, take what you think is accurate and discard what you don't. But I think people are definitely having those discussions now more than ever, which I guess is timely for all of us, especially those of us doing these shows and stuff, that there are a lot of people interested, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think it's just a great credit to, like, the internet and pop culture and TV shows nowadays, you know.
Yeah.
It's entertaining.
So you started Tales of the Crypt Square on Instagram and just decided to start posting these accounts.
Yeah. So, I mean, pretty much, like I said, like I had like this like love of the paranormal, interest in the paranormal. I was like a long time listener of the Sasquatch Chronicles and the Confessionals and Monsters Among Us, among other, podcasts. Basically I guess that where it starts was, part of my training in the Army, I had to go to Fort Polk, Louisiana. And for those of you that don't know, Fort Polk, Louisiana is where the Army has a big base that is known as JRTC, Joint Readiness Training Center.
Oh, okay.
It's one of four, what's known as combat training centers. I forgot the acronym. I think I might even got that acronym wrong. So many acronyms in the Army. Fort Polk, Louisiana, Fort Irwin, California, Hohenfels, Germany, and then now, what basically all of the islands of Hawaii, what's known as the Joint Pacific Readiness Center. Those are all like where the Army goes to pretend like they're going to go to war over the course of 30 days.
Oh, okay. So,
like, they simulate like deployment, the actual war, and then redeployment. So in 2021, I went to JRTC, Fort Polk, Louisiana with a unit, that I was assigned to. And, so we're out there in what's known as the box. And the box is like the designated training facility where the scenario takes place. So it's this massive open area of Louisiana swamps, forests, and abandoned farmsteads and all sorts of stuff out there. It is like one of the first nights we're there, and I'll be upfront, like my story is very mundane, very simple compared to others. Okay. And I'm very open to admitting that. But basically, you know, it's one of the first nights we're out there. It's late at night. It's like 3 at night or something like that. And I'm coming back to my tent. We have these individual, like, you know, call them light fighter tents. So like individual pop tents. And, because, you know, I'm a jackass and I wanted my privacy. I'm sleeping away from everyone else by myself, kind of, under a tree. And so I'm coming back from a meeting. I get back to my tent, I have my red light on, and I'm taking off my boots. And, you know, a pine cone falls in my feet, and I'm like, okay, whenever, you know, pine cone fell at my feet. And then, you know, another one falls. And I'm like, oh, wow, this tree is really, you know, dropping all these pine cones. And I get this sense, I look up, and I see this pine cone come flying out of the woods, like from the darkness, and just nail me right in the face. And I'm like, oh shit, and I turn off my light. When you're at these training centers, there's units that are stationed there, and all they do is they play the bad guys, right? The Op 4, Geronimo is what we typically call them. And these guys are good at what they do. All they do all year round is just wreck Army units. They know every trick in the book about how to defeat Army units, how to sneak past them, how to count them. Cause you know, they have our playbook, so they, you know, can adjust accordingly. So I'm sitting there thinking like, I'm about to get drugged. Cause I'm at the end of our, what's known as C wire, right?
Okay.
Like kind of like an obstacle. It's kind of like beefed up, barbed wire, right?
Okay.
And I'm at the very end of it. And the unit did not do a good job setting it up. There's like a gap. And I'm like, all right, great. I'm about to get drug out of my tent and captured. I'm never going to let this down. Like, here it comes. And I'm in the tent with my light off and I have like my little sidearm. You know, we have blanks and whatever. I don't have any blanks for my sidearm because they don't make any of them, right? Okay. So I'm sitting there and I'm getting ready to like just fight these guys. And nobody comes, but what happens is more and more pine cones start like landing on my tent, and I like zip open real quick and take my MVGs and poke them outside of the tent and just look, and like I see nothing, like I can't see anything in the darkness. I can just see the tree line, but I see these pine cones coming from beyond my sight line, like towards my tent, and you know I zip up and I'm like, oh shit, here it comes, and like pine cones and rocks hit my tent. And I'm waiting for something to happen and nothing happens. It eventually just stops. And I like unzip my tent and look around. I flash, there's a little IR flashlight on the G's, and I flash it, try to see if I can get like reflection or eye shine or something. Like maybe there's an animal out there. I don't know why I thought that at first, but I was like, maybe it's an animal. And I flash the light and I, of course I can't see anything. And there's like a gully, beyond that sea wire that goes down into like this little gully area. So I'm like, okay, maybe it was Geronimo and they like snuck away. They're just messing with us. So I go back to sleep, whatever. I wake up the next morning and I go report it to, our S2, the intelligence guys who are running like kind of like the intel brief, because like, hey, like I told them like, hey, I think we got probed last night and these pine cones were thrown at me, whatever, yada, yada, yada. And it kind of became like a laughing joke, like, haha, yeah, that's not a big deal. And the, OCs, the observer coach trainers that are there. So these are the guys that kind of control the scenario and they're evaluating us. They're like, what are you talking about, pine cones? Well, I told them like, well, I think the op four was here last night. And they're like, no, they weren't. Like, stop, like, irrelevant. Stop talking about it. Like, they weren't here. Ignore it. Mm-hmm. So, okay, whatever. So it's, like I said, it's like a kind of a running joke. But what's funny was where I was sleeping away from everyone, further down the seawire was everyone else. A lot of the people over there along the seawire reported the same thing, including the battalion XO. Pine cones and all sorts of stuff was being thrown at them all night.
The U.S. defense industry is large, complex, and competitive. It is also lucrative for those companies able to navigate it successfully. The American Society of Military Comptrollers helps bridge the gap between the boardroom and the battlefield while supporting transformation in the defense sector. The Business of Defense podcast brings you inside the companies working to achieve this, directly from the business leaders, and to understand how they create value for their companies and their customers. For more information on ASMC, visit asmconline.org.
Help your small business thrive and stay connected with the Comcast Business Complete Connectivity Solution. It's the largest, fastest, reliable network. Advanced gig speed Wi-Fi and cyber threat protection. Get started for just $40 a month for 12 months with no annual contract when you add mobile. Plus, ask how to get up to a $750 prepaid card. Comcast Business. Powering possibilities.
Ends 2/21/2023. Restrictions apply. Requires EcoBill and AutoPay. New 100 megabits per second internet and Comcast Business Security Edge customers only. Equipment taxes and fees extra. After 12 months, regular rates apply. Gig internet required for gig Wi-Fi.
Where it really makes it kind of connect is I come back. I'm talking to a friend of mine who was also there. And during the entire event, the entire, you know, rotation, right? His unit was co-located by us, and that like maybe by at the most 10 miles away. But the story he tells me a story. I told him like about pine cones. I'm like, hey, did anything weird happen out there? And you know, I told him about my like the pine cone incident because it just didn't sit right with me for whatever reason.
Oh yeah.
And he's like, yeah, that same thing happened to me on this night. And I was like, wait a minute, like this night on this area, right? And he's like, yeah. And so basically, where I was. He was maybe some 300, 400 meters away, like not far away on the other side of the ravine or gully. That was where the pine cones are coming from. Same thing happened to him. And okay, that's really weird. But then he opens up to me some more. And he says later on in the mission, they're out at a place called Geronimo DZ in Fort Polk. And while he was out there, same kind of scenario, he was sleeping away from everyone else by himself. And he said that when they were there, they started hearing weird stuff in the woods. And like, he's an outdoorsman. He's from West Virginia. He's like, I'm familiar with like what deer sound like, what cows, what every animal sounds like from a deer to a squirrel to a mountain lion. And he was saying like, what I was hearing in the woods was not any of those. It wasn't a pig, wasn't a bear, wasn't anything.
Wow.
And he's like, not only me, but other soldiers there started seeing like this shadowy figure in the distance, like deep in the woods, like peeking behind trees, running from like bush to bush, like something was out there looking at them. And they all remarked about how big it was.
Oh,
the size of that guy. He's huge. And it kind of culminates, one of the nights he was there, he's in his tent, it's a full moon, and he suddenly awakes and hears movement and he sees this massive shadow looming over his tent, like this massive outline of a, like, looks like a person, but it's huge. And he's a big guy. So he's like, this thing was bigger than me. And he's like, it's towering over his tent because he's also in like a light fighter like I was. And he like basically bends over the tent, like looking inside. Like, and he's like sitting there terrified with his knife, like thinking like, what the fuck is this thing? Like, you know, like he's freaking out. He's like, this is not good. And he's like, he can hear it breathing and sniffing into his tent before it basically just stands back up and like walks away. But he was just terrified of this event.
Yeah.
It had an impact on him that was noticeable. And I was like, that was like, for me, I was sitting there thinking like, well, I'm thinking exactly what you're thinking probably right now. Like, that sounded a lot like Bigfoot.
It did.
And so then I started doing some research into it. And I the Bigfoot Field Research Organization, I don't know if you're familiar.
The BFRO? Yeah.
Yeah. So like they have like a database of all these sightings that they've recorded. And so I went in and I typed in Fort Polk, Louisiana, and like, you know, four or five stories about people seeing Bigfoot popped up in Fort Polk, Louisiana. And then I was like, oh, that's really weird. And then so I went out to Instagram, and there was all these meme pages on Instagram for every various niche in the, you know, the U.S. Army, from like medics to tankers to infantry guys. And there was a well-known page that was dedicated for people who were the OCTs at Fort Polk. And I asked them like, hey, does weird stuff happen out there? Are there weird events? And they like kind of asked around, and it was kind of like a ha-ha joke moment, but they were like, no, nothing weird happens out there. But some people messaged me offline that they just went ahead and pushed my way. They're like, yeah, no, there's weird stuff that happens out here. So I started looking into it more, and found out that basically Fort Polk has this whole kind of legend, what's known as the Box Witch. And it's,
okay.
Depending on who you talk to, the Box Witch is one of two different things, but it's this legend that goes back like as far as Fort Polk has been around, which is fairly interesting. And a lot of people have stories in the box of weird stuff happening to them. And the more and more I looked into it, the more and more I got interested, until, you know, one night, basically after a few beers, I decided like, what if I looked into this topic? Like, I thought about all the other times people have told me their weird stories while they're in the service of weird things that happened to them. Like, you know, in like hushed tones, like when we're on staff duty or late at night in the field, because like they don't want people to hear. And I was like, what if I was like, anonymously collected these stories for people to get off their chest and like put online, and maybe they could get answers of, or maybe somebody else saw it, you know what I mean? And basically that night I decided to pick a name. I picked Tales from the Grid Square, kind of like, you know, play on Tales from the Crypt. And
yeah,
here we are.
Perfect. Yeah, and it's been incredible to read all of these different takes and accounts and the varied phenomena that these guys run into, you know, these men and women, you know, it's just incredible.
Oh, yeah, and it's like, you definitely, like, if you pay attention to the stories and I'm paying attention to what I get, you start seeing a pattern, like, certain places that have a lot of activity that's like, this can't be just coincidence. This can't be like, you know, you got to take everything with a grain of salt, but like places like Fort Polk,
mm-hmm.
where there's this huge influx of stories that are just similar, right?
Right.
You just have to ask yourself like, this can't be coincidence. This has to be legit.
Yeah, I have no doubt. And again, if there's ever a playing field where it's going to be prone to paranormal happenings, I would imagine active conflict zones would be those places because of all the psychic energy and stuff going on. And I'm not trying to say everything is, you know, feeding off of psychic energy, but my God, as highly charged as those areas are, there's no question they would be magnets to some entities or beings or something. And those stories you're posting are absolutely amazing. I have to ask you, if you don't mind, and you can certainly not comment on it or comment on it as you wish. But speaking of giants, I think one of the most famous stories to come out of a war zone or a battle zone is the Kandahar giant. Do you have any inside info on that? Or, I mean, I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot, so forgive me, but it certainly has grabbed the attention of a lot of people. And you know, I personally don't know what to think of it. It's just incredible.
Yeah, no, I no problem talking about it. I mean, I'll be upfront with you. Like, I'm just a regular guy in the Army, you know?
Sure.
I'm not like some cool guy, special forces dude or anything like that. I'm just a lowly you know, logistics guy in the Army. So in terms of like insider knowledge, I have none.
Okay. But, yeah, that's fair enough.
I do know that. So when I first heard the story of the Giant of Kandahar and looked into it, like, I'll be honest, like, I had my doubts. Some parts of the story don't make sense.
Okay.
Some parts sound very dramatic. It doesn't sound like, to me, the story didn't sound like somebody from the military sharing it, right?
Okay.
There's just like points like, you know, this army squad went missing.
Right.
Of course, right? There are some weird details to it that just didn't sound right. Now, taking a step back, now that I started the page, one of the first stories I got, was one of the more, like, one of the ones that I really remember that I got was, in the very beginning of the page, was from a guy that was an infantry battalion in the Kunar province of Afghanistan. And he saw a giant on thermal imaging when he was basically on a gun mount, like, looking for Taliban. He saw a heat signature that looked like a group of people stand up as one, like, as very obviously a man running along a ridgeline.
Wow.
And the man was bigger than the trees that it was running between.
Oh, man.
So that got me thinking, like, oh, maybe there was something to the Giant of Kandahar. And then after that story, I got more stories. I've gotten two more stories of similar, basically the same thing. Guys at night, somewhere in Afghanistan, scanning around with the thermal imaging, see this massive outline of a man, and for reference, can see the trees and buildings in one incident, and the person is bigger than these things. And it's not like they have a rangefinder, they can see how far it is, everything else. It's not like a play on, you know, perspective.
Right. Wow.
Got a story from a guy that was an analyst, and looking, they had drone footage of, they saw these people in Afghanistan and they looked like regular people, but they noticed that the people compared to the goats were like four times the size of the goats. It was like cats compared to these people. And it was funny, it just wasn't anything incredible like the Giant of Kandahar. It was very anticlimactic. There's gigantic people meandering in this village in the middle of nowhere, Afghanistan. And most recently, I posted a story on my page, actually last night. And that individual, they were doing a key leader engagement in a village somewhere in the Karangal Valley. And as he's sitting there, like, scanning in the distance at their patrol base, he sees in this gigantic man come out of a cave, and the dude kind of comes out of the cave and he looks like, you know, like he said, like an NBA player scaled 1.5 times, like just a gigantic man. It looked like an Afghani man with long hair and a beard and just like tattered robes staring at him. You know, the giant picked something off the ground and like backed into his cave and walked away.
Wow.
Yeah, and he saw him clear as day, and, you know, and it just got me thinking, like, hey, maybe there was something to the Giant of Kandahar. Like, and some of the details don't make any sense, but, you know, I've also spoken to people in certain communities that maybe they're messing with me, maybe they're not, but they're like, oh, they make a lot of references and allusions to that story. There might be something to it.
Yeah, I think the possibilities are intriguing. You know, I mean, if you look at this holistically, okay, so there's potentially we're being visited by people from other galaxies or dimensions or whatever. We are exposed to spirits and, you know, any manner of spiritual beings. There are Bigfoot and Dogman. And then, so, I mean, where would the cutoff be? Well, maybe there isn't one. Maybe the giant is just as likely as any of these other things. It's just, and again, our histories, our folklores, our religions have reference to these things being around. So unless they were all wiped out, you know, in these flood things, could there be survivors? And they are reported very, very rarely. But these reports do come out that people are seeing these, you know, 15, 20 foot tall men, usually with red hair or something of the account in, at least in the Americas here, that are enormous, walking through forests and up mountainsides in remote areas. Like, one story was this old hunter, and I think I heard it on Sasquatch Chronicles. This old hunter was up and he was just hunting, and he was sitting there and I think it was a deer stand or a blind or whatever. And suddenly he hears this noise and looks over, and there's this large 15-foot-ish, 20-foot-ish man with a great red hair and long red beard walking up the side of the mountain until he disappeared from view. And apparently, if I'm recalling the story correctly, the guy just went, okay, I'm done hunting now. and he did. Apparently he quit hunting because that changes the game. I mean, when we're in these wild places, there could be these things out there. And that's a sobering thought, you know?
Yeah. I think that's the appropriate response to that situation. I would definitely have been, all right, I'm done. It's time to go home.
So can you tell me, when you're hearing these reports from the different service people that are sending them in, is there one phenomena that pops up more than others? Like, are there more ghostly tales, or are there more cryptid type of tales, or what are you seeing mostly coming in?
Ooh, that's a good question. I never really broke it down and looked into it. I would say it's an almost even split between UFOs, cryptids, and hauntings, except for maybe a little bit more on the haunting side.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I think that's probably holds true in all of the paranormal. Like, the most likely account most people are going to have is with a spirit of some kind, just because, if they are formerly people or formerly other things that were never people, they've been here forever, but these other things require maybe some sort of physicality in order to be there, whereas a spirit can just be wherever.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out Pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.
Is there any one location that you get more stories from? I guess basically, do you hear more reports from service members from just bases, or do you hear more from people that are in active duty, or is there no real definition or definitive response to that?
Yeah, you know, I don't think there's really a good response to that, because I would say I get more stories from, I think the amount of stories I get from the types of people and the types of stories, mm-hmm, are really related to the audience that I am introduced to.
Okay.
Because there's, National Guard and Reserves, there's so many more soldiers on National Guard and Reserve status, but I'm not exposed to those soldiers as much, right? Or like, I get a ton of stories from the Army, mainly because I'm the Army and I associate with those pages to help like spread the word.
Right.
And I do like say the Coast Guard. I've had like maybe 4 stories from the Coast Guard. None from the Space Force yet, but I'm sure that'll change soon. If they're, even if they're allowed to talk about all that stuff.
Right. What kind of stories come in from the Coast Guard? I'm kind of curious. Are they more aquatic things, or are they again spiritual things, or what are you hearing?
Really spiritual things, like haunted ships. Ships seem to be a magnet for hauntings, and I guess in the Coast Guard, you know, those ships are typically older hand-me-downs from the Navy. So maybe they have some residual energy stuck to them as well. And you know, same goes for the Navy. I get a good mix between the Navy. It's like mainly haunted facilities, haunted boats, UFOs out at sea. The Army and Marine Corps are pretty even split between hauntings, UFOs, and cryptids.
Okay.
And then the Air Force has predominantly been UFOs and hauntings.
Well, you know, I'm just thinking about, you know, of course, everybody's heard the tales from mariners, you know, into the long distant past, coming across these strange creatures out there. You know, there's obviously the sea monsters, and there's the Ninjin out of Japan, which looks like this white, large white humanoid, like almost a cross between a manatee and a man, but it's a big white thing. And some alleged photos have emerged of those as well. And I was just, have you ever gotten any sea creature kind of reports?
Yeah, honestly, I think I've gotten one.
Okay.
And it was a guy that he is of the pagan faith, and alleges he saw the world serpent, like a giant shadow.
Ooh.
Swam by his ship. I think it was on a destroyer. So yeah, pretty. He said it was as big, if not bigger, than his ship. So that's a pretty good sized animal of some type. Maybe a whale, maybe not. But he said it was bigger than a whale.
Wow.
So I don't really get a lot of the sea creature.
Yeah.
Kind of. I mean, I've gotten some stories of weird stuff from some mariners. But nothing like concrete, because they can't like look out. They can't obviously look out a window on the sub.
Yeah, but I think the oceans are probably have yet to reveal everything that's in there, since we've really not researched much of them. But, you know, I guess these guys are on ships for months at a time. So I'm always curious. You know, I bet you the other part of it is if you think about how many stories you have heard versus how many stories there are. You know, not everybody's going to be the guy to send in a report, or the lady to send in a report. I think a lot of people eat these things, and they just kind of live with the idea that they saw something they can't explain. But it is nice when people come forward and share those things, because, you know, I know for me personally, I'm really into this because I want to understand what this stuff means. You know, I don't think it's just quirky weirdness, like when reality goes haywire. I think there's something really, really significant going on. And I can't pretend to know what it is, if it has something to do with the true nature of reality, or if it's more dimensional or quantum or what it is. But I think these stories and these experiences really do demonstrate some incredibly amazing events happening that defy our traditional understanding of physics and the world around us. So, you know, that's why I'm really intrigued.
Oh, yeah. And I'm the same way. I think that there's, you know, Occam's razor works in, you know, both directions, in my opinion, is, you know, sometimes the simplest answer is that, you know, you can't explain it right now. It defies established, you know, train of thought. It's like, you know, I like Bigfoot, right? Like, if you look at Bigfoot, some of it is bullshit, you know, some of it is people making stuff up or misidentifying stuff. But if you look at all the circumstantial evidence from the historical record, going back to the first peoples, to the Patterson-Gimlin film, to like some of the modern stuff coming out now, it's too much to ignore. There's something there. Now, that being said, there's a lot of people that fake stuff and make stuff up. So you kind of take it with a grain of salt. And, you know, a friend of mine that brought up a good quote on this, you know, he's like, you know, of all the Bigfoot, you know, casts you have of all their, of all these supposed feet from Bigfoot, right? Mm-hmm. Footprints, right? You have to just go ahead and assume that all of them are fake. And he was, and I was like, why is that? He's like, because if you have to assume that every single one of them is fake right now, because if even one of them is legitimate, is an actual print of Sasquatch, then you have to consider that all of them are real. And I was like, you know, that's a, yeah, it's a good point. And, you know, I think that I'm hoping that maybe I can document some stuff and wade through the cracks a little bit and, you know, make discoveries and awareness about these things. Because I, part of it too, is I think that, you know, especially in the cryptid side, as we're going into places that humans have never really gone, we're going to see things that, you know, like we have never seen before, or, you know, what's a good one? Like, you know, the Skinwalker mythos, right?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Skinwalker mythos is blown up to a point of it's a meme, and to the point that what people describe as skinwalkers aren't even like remotely close to what a skinwalker really is, right? People are, you know, reporting all these, or, you know, I don't know if you listen to The Confessionals.
Sure, sometimes, yeah.
So he had an episode about a Marine at Quantico. I don't know if you heard that one.
I don't think I did, no.
I was already spoiled, it's a really good one, but like, it goes back into the whole skinwalker thing, is people are experiencing something that they just call a skinwalker or a wendigo, and doesn't really match like what that really is. So what do they see?
Right.
You know, like the pale crawlers is one of the ones I always go back to.
Oh, they're creepy as hell. Oh
yeah. Like the rake, right? You've heard the rake?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Well, the rake is a fictional thing, right?
Right.
It was part of the Slender Man mythos, which I'm sorry. There's people that think that Slender Man is real. Slender Man is fake.
Yep.
It is made up. It is an extremely well done and well orchestrated viral horror like phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
But part of that mythos is the creature known as the rake. And when that came out, people started coming forward. It's like, I have seen the rake. Mm-hmm. You see something that is fictional. Something that looks exactly like the rake. A pale humanoid that walks around on all four limbs, mm-hmm, in the. And, you know, and you and I both know that we've seen the videos.
Oh, yeah.
We've, the, you know, there's some, there's pictures out there. My favorite one is the crab walking looking one. Mm. Have you ever seen that one?
Yeah, I think so. I think I've seen pretty much all of them.
Posts around everywhere. And this kind of goes back to taking things with a grain of salt. Did you know that picture is actually a still from a movie?
Oh, right. Yeah, the one where it's like its legs are bent the wrong way and stuff. Yes. Yeah.
It's a still from an Italian horror film.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's too much of that stuff going on, but I think the rake could be out there, but I think it's just a new term for what was known as a ghoul in antiquity. There was these ghouls that were, you know, often seen around cemeteries and stuff, feeding on the corpses of the people buried there. And I wondered about that. And so I got kind of a pet theory about it. If you don't mind, I'll share it with you.
Oh, please.
So here's my take on it, is that I think that what people identify now as a rake could just be the ghouls. And I wonder, well, why aren't they sighted around cemeteries anymore? And then it occurred to me that they were normally sighted, chewing on corpses and digging up graves and such. But a practice was brought into a common use called embalming. So it's like, that whole food supply for them is probably not edible anymore. So they are, you know, pushed out to a different kind of foraging pattern. And that's why they're not just sighted in cemeteries anymore. I don't know. What do you think of that?
Ooh, I think that's a good theory. Cause like, you know, I think the term ghoul actually comes from the Arab word al ghoul, which is the same type of creature. And one of my favorite posts on 4chan in the X category was about the ghouls and about how they were the eaters of the dead. Mm-hmm. And there were these stories, I can try to find the green text, but it's, you know, about how service members would encounter these creatures in Afghanistan and Iraq. And, the locals would talk about how they would see these figures dancing in the night in the you know, in the shadow of the oil fires, right? Because they had seen a feast unheard of in ages of, you know, basically all the dead bodies that the war was producing.
Right.
And it, yeah, it makes you think that's a good one. I just see the videos of them and the pictures.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's so much fakery out there. And I think that, you know, for by and large, you have to weigh everything you see on the internet with the eyes of a shrewd skeptic, because there's just way too many people that are posting garbage and trying to make some notoriety off of republishing old photos that they think nobody's going to recognize. And it's just a shell game. It's such a con job in a lot of ways. But
I
think that there are so many legitimate accounts out there of people running into all these different things. And again, I'm so thrilled with what you're doing. You're the only one out there that's doing it. And, you know, I understand that maybe you will spin off some copycats and stuff. But, man, you were the first. You're the first I've ever known of that has just made this their mission to, you know, to give a voice to these people having these experiences and how powerful they are. So, man, I really appreciate what you're doing.
I appreciate that. And I just honestly hope that maybe it just gives some people some closure. Get it off their chest or whatever. And that's why I decided to also like compile these stories into like a book. So then like, you know, no matter what, if Tales from the Grid Square gets deleted or whatever like that, like, you know, these stories are preserved in the printed form, you know? And I do think they're, some of them I think are important.
Yes.
You know, some of them are fun, some of them are terrifying. I think that regardless, it's important to put them out there for, you know, people to make their own decisions on and, you know, maybe go, I saw something like that too. Or, you know, my dad experienced something like that. And it's like, you know, even my own father, who was in the service for 20 something years, you know, has told me about stuff that he's never told me about before, about how, you know, he's like, oh yeah, I've heard of the ghost tanks on Camp Lejeune. Like, you know, oh yeah, I heard about weird stuff happening in Quantico, or, you know, I saw a UFO when I was flying over Iraq in 2003.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, Nick, it's been an awesome pleasure getting a chance to talk to you. And I, again, my hat's off to you for what you're doing, and thanks again for all your service. That's nothing short of amazing in and of itself, but to also dedicate yourself to bringing a voice to all these strange accounts where people may not have anywhere else to put them. So could you take a couple minutes and let people know how to keep, you know, to stay in touch with what you're doing? Where can they find Tales of the Grid Square?
Yeah, of course. So you can find Tales from the Grid Square on Instagram right now. It's where I primarily operate out of. And that is T-A-L-E-S, Tales. _FROM_THE_GRIDSQUARE Grid Square. So all one word. Or just Tales from the Grid Square on Instagram should pop it up. I post stories as I get them on there, kind of whenever I can. Try to keep like a flow to keep people on there. My DMs are always open, so if you want to tell me a story, you can please contact me through there. Or if you don't have Instagram, I do have email. My email is simply talesfromthegridsquare@gmail.com, and it's talesfromthegridsquare, all one word.
Perfect.
gmail@gmail.com. Also, for the listeners, I do have a book, Tales from the Grid Square, Volume 1, which is a collection of 240 of these stories that I decided one day that I wanted to put these into a book. And I started putting them aside, and basically the stories that you see on Instagram are exactly as they're sent to me. Very raw, very like, you know, there's a lot of grammatical mistakes because I don't want to like, I don't have a lot of time to sit there and like kind of fine comb them. But in the book, what I do is I edit them down without, to the best I can, without taking away the story for readability and making it kind of flow better. And I basically divide it up. So there's a chapter devoted to each one of the services, including foreign militaries. So I get, you know, primarily connecting with American military, but I connect with Canadian military, British military. I even have like a story from the Russian army in there.
Nice. Okay.
So quite a few, like I break it up in each chapter so it's easy to find stories. And I have 240 of those in volume one, and I'm currently working on volume two, which I think is going to be bigger and better than volume one. I'll have some pictures with some photographic evidence in there. So stay tuned for that. And I'm also working on, even if you're not in the military, I just said to hell with it one day. And if you want to send me your story to get put into a book, I'm working on, off to the side, to be determined when it's released, Tales from the Homefront, which is basically just the same thing of people telling me their stories, everything from, like, if you're EMS or first responder, just a regular person, you know, please, if you want to share your story and have it included in the book, send it my way.
Well, that's brilliant, brother. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And I hope you'll come back again and we can talk a little more, because obviously we've got a lot of ground yet to cover, and we could certainly do more episodes if you're open to coming back.
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to come on, you know.
I appreciate your time, Nick, and thank you so much. And it's been an absolute pleasure, brother.
Thank you.
Well, the only time she really turned with that famous,
yep,
was when I rode across the creek and got down off the horse. She turned to look at me.
All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us here on tonight's show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio, as well as finding us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at Paranormal Portal, P-O-R-T-L. And we'd love to have you stop by our YouTube page and subscribe and check out our shows there. We got hundreds of shows, Journeys into the Paranormal Portal. So hope you'll check it out, guys. We're over there at youtube.com/paranormalportal. So hope to see you guys soon. We'll be back, of course, for more podcasts in the coming days. So we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.